Branch? Joseph Foddy, room 2703.
Good morning.
Yes, sir? What can we do for you, sir?
I want a nice room where it's quiet and not too high up.
Oh, yes, sir. We have just what you want right here. Just sign the register, please, sir.
Yes.
Branch? Show Mr. Anthony Millbrook, sir. Boy, show Mr. Millbrook to room 1046.
Today's radio play, Love Forever, is based on a most unusual story taken from the pages of next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst's Sunday newspapers from coast to coast.
Broadway Hotel. Mr. Tuckerman, thank you. I'm meeting Mr. Tuckerman.
Good morning, Millie.
Good morning, Tommy. Broadway Hotel. The manager, thank you. I'm meeting the manager. Well, how's the boy detective this morning?
Oh, gee, Millie. You think it's like having leprosy to want to amount to anything?
Me? Why, say, I think it's swell. You wanted to be a real, honest Indian detective.
You do? Honest, Millie?
Why, sure. It runs in the family. My old man's a cop.
He is?
I'll say. And if he can still pay his deed for the next 5 years, he'll get his pension.
Say, how come your father never became a dick?
Oh, I don't know. Something always happens. One time after he applied, he got plugged in a holdup on his feet.
Oh, gee.
Then when he got well, he was still at the bottom of the list. And then they started in taking younger men. So he kind of got discouraged.
Oh, that was tough, Millie. I bet he'd have made a swell dick. I'm glad I decided what I want to be early enough. And with my studying night by mail, I figure it won't take me long to get on the plain clothes squad.
You bet you'll make the... Broadway Hotel. Miss Devon, thank you. I'm ringing Miss Devon. You bet you'll make the grade, Tommy. And don't let anybody tell you different.
You know, Millie, every time I check in a guest, I try to size him up. Figure out what he does and where he comes from and all that.
Yeah?
Yeah, and sometimes I come pretty close to hitting it right. And then again, sometimes I'm way off. I used to dope out every guy who checked in without much baggage was a deadbeat. But one guy cured me.
How?
I checked in this old coot in 1511. He only had a briefcase. He wasn't in the room more than 3 hours. But when he left, he gave me a 5-spot. Later, I found out he was H.B. Daggett, the steel magnet. And he used the room to close a big deal.
5 bucks?
Not bad, huh? Oh, I must admit, it's the one and only big tip I've ever got.
Order, please. Order, please. Oh, what's the matter with that guy? His light's burning like an airplane beacon, and he don't answer. Order, please. Well, Tommy, here's a little detective practice for you.
What?
Run up to 1046 and see why that guy don't answer. And put his receiver back on the hook.
Okay, short. Passkey, Mr. Keene. Receiver off the hook in 1046.
Here you are.
Going up. The car going up.
Hold it.
Turn out, please.
Now who's forgot the key?
Some guy in 1046 has knocked his receiver off the hook and his light's blazing in Millie's face. Gosh, when guys get oiled up, why do they always unhook their receivers?
You're going to be a detective. You ought to be able to find the answer to that one. Turn out.
Yeah, well, even a detective has to ask questions. You'll find that out when you knock off that mother-in-law of yours.
Oh, yeah? Well, you won't be the dick assigned to the key.
Why, guy? Mr. Millbrook! Okay, boss. Ready or not, here I come. Mr. Millbrook! Mr. Millbrook, are you in the... Holy! Billy! Get the house sick up here right away, and the doctor. Mr. Millbrook's been stabbed. Mr. Millbrook. Who did this to you?
No, nobody.
How'd you get hurt?
I fell against the bathtub.
Did you try to commit suicide?
No.
Then who stabbed you like this?
Nobody.
Sight, folks. But murder was committed here, and here's where I got to find out what happened. You'll all please answer questions and straight and fast. I'll take you next.
Yes, sir.
Just the way you found the room when you let yourself in?
Yes, sir. Nothing's been touched. I was careful of that. That's one of the first rules to follow in murder investigations.
Now, don't try to give us a criminology lecture, son. Just answer my question.
Yes, sir.
What did you do when you came in?
I took one look around the room.
Yeah.
Then I called Mr. Millbrook. I went to the bathroom and I found him lying naked on the floor. He was bleeding from several wounds.
Then what did you do?
I called Millie.
Who?
I mean Miss Tate.
Oh.
And I asked her to send a house detective. Then I went back to Mr. Millbrook and tried to find out who stabbed him. All he said was nobody and passed out. Then the house detective and the doctor came up.
And you didn't see any of Millbrook's personal effects in the bathroom?
No, sir. The medicine cabinet over the washbowl was standing open. It was empty.
And you didn't see any of his personal effects in this room?
No, sir. The bureau drawers were pulled halfway out,
yeah,
just like they are now. And the closet door stood ajar so I could see into it. Everything was empty. The murderers must have taken everything with them.
You don't say. All right. You. As I said, you, didn't I?
Yes, sir.
You made up this room?
Yes, sir. That is, I've been doing it for Katie while she's been laid up with a lumbago. She can't bend over this way at all. It hurts her.
All right. Tell that to the doc. I ain't interested.
Yes, sir.
Now, did you see any of Millbrook's personal effects when you cleaned up the bathroom yesterday?
No, sir. He was neat as a pin. He never left his underclothes lying around or
anything. I don't mean his underclothes. I mean his razor, brush, soap, toothbrush, so on.
Oh, sure. Them things are in there.
Are you sure about that?
Certain sure.
Why are you so sure?
Because I took a good look.
Yes, I'll bet you did. Now, tell me, did he ever have any visitors when you were making up the room?
No, sir, but...
But what?
Well, once while I was making up, he talked on the phone to somebody called Kay.
Yeah.
And another time, I found a note pinned on his door that said, Dave, I have gone out for a few minutes. Wait.
Well, that ain't much help. All right. You.
Yes, sir.
You're the elevator man in charge of the locals?
Yes, sir.
Well, on the morning of the murder, did you bring anyone up to this floor?
Yes, sir.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere. Who'd you bring up?
Him.
The bellboy?
Yes, sir.
That all?
Yes, sir.
Nobody on your cars bring anybody up to this floor?
No, sir.
Then the murderers must have gotten off at another floor and walked up to this one.
Or down, Sherlock Holmes.
Yes, sir. Or down.
All right. Go back to your car.
Thank you, sir.
Now, you. You're Jack Tracy, reporter on the Daily Times.
Yes, sir.
You said you had some information. What is it?
Well, my paper got out the flash of the murder, you see, and sent a man up here to get the details. He ran the story in the night edition saying the unidentified man was being buried in a pauper's grave. I was reading the edition at my desk in the city. City room, Tracy talking.
You have a story in your paper that's wrong.
Yeah? What is it?
Anthony Millbrook will not be buried in a pauper's grave.
Say, who is this?
That makes no difference. I know what I'm talking about. Arrangements have been made for his funeral.
Where?
Colbridge Funeral Home.
What happened to Millbrook in the Broadway Hotel?
He just got into a jam.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
I tried to locate the call, but it wasn't any use.
Dame had disappeared. Then I called the Colbridge Funeral Home.
And you found the information correct?
Yes. A mysterious man called Colbridge about the same time and ordered him to bury Millbrook in Shady Lawn Cemetery tomorrow. He said he wanted Millbrook near his sister.
Whose sister? Millbrook?
No, the sister of the mysterious man. The man sent Colbridge the money for the funeral, the pot, and the headstone.
Yeah, your story sticks with Colbridge's.
Look here.
I suppose you found the clue.
This unlit cigarette was between the carpet and the door jamb. There was a bomb up here, all right.
I suppose Millbrook couldn't have dropped that cigarette.
Not unless he used lipstick.
Huh?
Listen, here's the way I dope it out. Millbrook and the dame were in love.
Tell me again, Tony.
I love you.
Again.
Baby.
I love you. Dear, I couldn't be happier than I am with you.
Couldn't you? You're sweet to say so.
You really do love me, Tony.
Believe me, I do.
I do believe you, Tony. Darling.
Yes, sir.
When are we to be married?
Now, honey, why must you spoil this moment by getting practical?
Sorry, I didn't mean to spoil anything. As long as I love you so much, I want to be with you always.
I want to be with you, too.
And when is it to be? Always.
Let's not talk about that now.
Why not? Tony.
Yes.
You are going to marry me.
Then do I want?
Yes, then, but that was a long time ago. You haven't mentioned anything about marriage since.
Why can't we go on like this? Just loving each other. Then.
You're not going to marry me, Tony.
Said I want.
But you're not. I can tell it. I see it in your face.
Let's get out of here, then. Let's go someplace where it's quiet, where we can talk it over.
You can talk it over now, Tony. Why aren't you going to marry me? What have I done? How have I changed?
You haven't done anything, sir. You haven't changed.
Then why have you changed your mind?
I haven't changed my mind, dear. It's just that I can't.
Well, why not?
Because there's someone else.
Someone. Who is it, Tony?
My wife.
Hey, that's the oldest story in the world, son. You got to stop reading them dime novels.
Oh, let me finish, will you?
Go ahead.
No Book breaks the girl's heart. Her brother finds out about the whole thing. He makes a date to see No Book. No Book has to go out a few minutes, so he leaves the note the maid here store.
Yes, he said, Dave, I have gone out for a few minutes. Wait.
All right, all right. And I suppose the brother threatens Millbrook if he doesn't marry the girl.
Now you're getting somewhere. Mm. No Book stalls him off. On the morning of the murder, there's a knock here at No Book's door.
Who's there?
Dave, it's
me.
Eh? Yes.
Just a second till I get a dressing gown on. Hey, you're crying. What's the matter? Come in.
Thanks.
Hey, what is it? Burn up?
I'll tell you what this is, Millbrook. This is the payoff.
When they finish with Millbrook, they strip him and the room and go to another floor and disappear.
Listen, that dame, if there was a dame, couldn't stand around and watch him get it unless she sure hated him.
Oh, yes, she could. A brother forced her to act as decoy and stay until the job was done.
Well, you stick the hopping bells on. Leave murder theories to me.
I bet that woman will turn up again before Millbrook's buried.
Well, she hasn't yet. Got a man planted in the funeral home in case anybody comes around. You answer that, son.
Millie, why aren't you on the board?
He was off the hook again up here. I tried to send up word. This card came over from the floor.
What's that?
Eugene Flores got an order for 13 American Beauty for the Millbrook funeral. And that card was to be enclosed. They arrested the customer.
Since the customer, eh? What does the card say?
Read it and weep, mister.
Mm. You win, son.
What's it say?
Love forever. Hey.
Ain't that sweet?
Them's my sentiments, too, Millie. Love forever. Only my name ain't Kay.
Be sure to read the baffling details of a mystery revealed by a bellboy in line of duty. The story will appear in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. It will be found under the title, The Mystery of Room 1046. This is Wentworth announcing. I'm turning the microphone over to your own announcer. Thank you.
Whereas His Imperial Highness Nasiruddin, Maharaja of Adora, being dead, and whereas his throne being temporarily occupied by his brother's wife, and whereas there being no male descendant to either side of